In 1874, a man boarded a ship for Europe with his family in tow. This was just 30 years after the great disappointment when William Miller anticipated the personal, physical return of Jesus Christ and was left profoundly unsatisfied. The man in question was John Nevins Andrews. He was headed for Switzerland, and he was to be the first official foreign missionary of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Just think of it. At that time, there were just a few thousand Seventh-day Adventists in the world. And I think if you had asked Andrews, who, by the way, if you're not familiar with him, went on to become a truly celebrated figure in Adventism. In fact, the church's most prestigious institution of higher learning is named after him. If you were to ask Andrews, is it important for people to know Jesus? I think it's pretty safe to say that he would have said yes. The problem is, Andrews had the wrong Jesus. Andrews was an Arian. He denied the deity of Jesus Christ, denied the Trinity, holding the same view that quite a number of the church's pioneers, early founders, held, and that persists in the daughter movement of Seventh-day Adventism, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And it's unfortunate that what we see in Andrews, to a large degree, characterizes the Adventist missionary movement today. Zeal, pioneering spirit, entrepreneurial skill, wrong Jesus. By 1960, the Adventist movement had reached about 1 million members. And today, there are about 17 million Seventh-day Adventists spread across more than 200 nations and territories. In fact, today, it's estimated that the number of Americans in the worldwide Adventist movement is fewer than 7%, which is really an achievement. If you look at the major 19th century movements that were begun in the United States, Adventism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Adventism is by far one of the most far-flung, most world-penetrating, bested only by the Jehovah's Witnesses, who respect no human governments and go where they please. But the Adventists are working in over 900 languages, both in their literature and in their spoken efforts. And as I said, they are determined to be, in every sense, a world church. And I'm going to read to you from a report that I wrote not too very long ago. There was a young woman named Nong in a Southeast Asian country that is closed to traditional missionary work. In a report to supporters, an American missionary describes Nong as having a huge desire to learn about God, a desire like I've never seen before. Nong is filled with questions, but they're not the questions you might expect. You see, Nong asked the missionary about a pamphlet she received that describes how Jesus moved from the holy place to the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary in 1844. She wants to know more about a coming law-enforcing Sunday worship. The missionary patiently answers Nong and adds that the two great errors employed by Satan in the last days will be the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness. The missionary also explains how the early Sabbath keepers discovered the Sabbath truth and how the Lord confirmed their discovery through the visions of Ellen G. White. Where do we find this story? In the pages of Adventist Frontiers. Yes, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is committed to reaching the least, the last, and the lost in the 1040 window and in places where the gospel of Jesus Christ in any form is little known. It concerns me greatly that in many cases, like those of Nong, the frontier Adventist missionaries may be getting there ahead of us. Adventism is truly a world religion, as I've said. Here is Catch the Vision, the Silvery Anniversary Edition, published by Three Angels Broadcasting Network, with a satellite map showing that they cover everything, every landmass, and most of the deep blue sea. They give us an international report on their work in Russia, Kenya and Uganda, the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Australia and New Zealand. They are just about everywhere. And this presents a challenge to evangelicals and everyone else, because Adventism is a profoundly heretical movement. Paul warns us about such movements in Galatians, and I think it's very important to understand that not only do we have the spreading of error, but we must recognize the means by which it is spread. He writes to the Galatians in chapter 2, New American Standard, "False brethren were secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage." Or as it says in the New International Version, "Some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves." The deception is delivered by means of subtlety and subterfuge. I wish it were otherwise, but it is. You'll be hearing more about it tonight and all day tomorrow, but understand, please, especially if you were a visitor here tonight, that Seventh-day Adventism is deeply heretical. I say this as someone who has studied cults around the world full-time since 1980. It distorts the Trinity. It distorts the doctrine of Jesus Christ, of man, of salvation, of judgment. It delivers up extra-biblical revelation. It declares itself the one special end-time remnant church. It does this in doctrinal doublespeak. It covers up for the errors and misdoings of Ellen G. White. And at the end of the day in Seventh-day Adventism, the Bible is not enough, and Jesus is not enough. And we must take this seriously, because as I've indicated, Seventh-day Adventists send missionaries. It is a missionary religion. Seventh-day Adventists employ an astonishing array of means to convey their message, both subtly and directly, by means of radio, television, cable, the internet, and of course, literature. How many of you have ever seen or ever owned a copy of a book known as The Great Controversy? Raise your hand. Not a few of you. The Great Controversy is very important in Adventism. Mrs. White called it the last message of warning to the world, given more distinctly than in any of her other books. There has been, in recent years, a very interesting project of the Seventh-day Adventist Church called Connecting with Jesus, which had been the largest global book distribution project in the church's history. 10 Ellen G. White books being translated into neglected but strategic languages. However, the so-called Connecting with Jesus project, which I think is one of the most strangely named efforts in the history of Adventism, has been eclipsed by the Great Controversy Project. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's also known as the Great Hope, or Hope into Every Home. And this project is an initiative, a unique initiative, of the Seventh-day Adventist President and World Church Executive Committee, with the goal of distributing massive quantities of the Great Controversy around the world. How massive? I'll tell you in a moment. But to understand, to appreciate the role that the Great Controversy has in Adventism, I want to draw a comparison for you. The unsuspecting reader thinks they're getting insight on the Bible when, in fact, they're not. Instead, they're viewing Scripture through the distorted prophetic lens of Ellen G. White. And as a conversion tool, the nearest parallel I can find is how the Mormon Church uses the Book of Mormon in its missionary program. Consider this, please. In both cases, the book used validates the prophetic calling of the central figure of the movement. In Mormonism, Joseph Smith, and Adventism, Ellen G. White. The book reveals God's plan outside the Bible. It identifies the group as the main source of divine truth in the last days, and it serves as the hook to draw unsuspecting readers into the group's deeper system of doctrine. And judging by the testimonies that you can read online, the videos that you can watch, the great controversy serves this purpose remarkably well. This great controversy project is mobilizing the church worldwide at all levels. Delbert W. Baker, the project chairman, said in June of last year that President Wilson, the head of the church, has challenged all the divisions of the world field, all the departments in the General Conference, all the entities, for example, hospitals, Adventist health systems, schools, Adventist laymen's services and industries, independent ministries, publishing houses, supporting organizations, to help us in spreading the great controversy like the leaves of autumn. Imagine this. In the South American division, they've committed to distribute at least 15 million copies in one day. And consider this. The Brazil Publishing House has already printed 23 million copies of The Great Controversy, rebranded as The Great Hope. In fact, the church is distributing the book in four different forms, depending on the geographic unit of the church. And by the way, it's important for you to understand what constitutes a success story in the minds of the people who are promoting this great effort. And if you want to read the newsletters of the Great Controversy Project, just go online. They're very enlightening. For example, in the city of Juiz de Fora, Brazil, a Baptist received a copy of The Great Controversy from an Adventist one Sabbath after lunch. Now, I'm reading from the newsletter. On Sunday evening, after reading the entire book, the Baptist visited the nearest Seventh-day Adventist church and asked the pastor to be baptized. He was converted, note that word, converted, less than 30 hours after receiving the book. This is what constitutes a big win in this project. And it reveals something that is stated with delightful clarity in Wikipedia, where the Seventh-day Adventist church page is probably checked very closely by SDA church employees. Missionary outreach of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is aimed at both non-Christians and Christians from other denominations. This characterizes Adventist missionary work because your gospel, your Jesus, your church are simply not enough. You need Ellen and you need Adventism, according to this move. So just consider, they shipped a million books to West Africa from Nampa, Idaho, not long ago. The West Central Africa Division pledged to print 12 million copies in a minimum of 10 languages. Trans-European Division plans to distribute 2 million copies in 18 languages. Central Brazil Union Conference adopted the goal of giving a book to each of the 12 million homes in its territory. And the South American Division adopted the goal of putting a book in 70 million homes over the next 2 years. The total pledged number of books as of now in the 13 divisions is over 160 million in dozens of languages. And so I ask you, dear friends, is this a catastrophe? Is it also an opportunity? I believe it is an opportunity because until the current Seventh-day Adventist president took office, Ellen G. White was a little more carefully veiled by the Adventist church. And this, I think, gives us a wonderful chance to talk to people about who really was Ellen G. White and to respond to this situation with clarity, conviction, and compassion. Clarity. Everybody needs to understand, absolutely, that Adventism is a heretical system, Ellen G. White is a false prophet. Conviction. We have to understand that institutional Adventism is not our ally. We cannot partner up with them for evangelistic or ecumenical purposes. Adventism needs to be excluded, not in a spirit of meanness, But again, for the sake of clarity, evangelical pastors, evangelical laymen, missionaries around the world need to be able to identify, understand, and answer the claims of Seventh-day Adventism so they can evangelize compassionately those who have been taken captive by it. I close with the words of the Apostle Paul to his disciple Timothy in his first letter, where he writes, "The Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from this faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. But in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus." Let's remember that as we seek to answer the challenge of Seventh-day Adventist missions.